When Dan Rose and Max Poppel, both of whom are in their 30s and are rock climbers, first conceived of the crash pad, their idea was to build a friendly, comfortable and cheap place where the growing number of rock climbers coming to Chattanooga could spend the night. But according to the crash pad's manager, Al Smith, it now attracts a much wider range of people. Their guests range in age from early 20s to late 60s. In the winter, the majority of people staying are rock climbers. In the summer, it's mostly tourists. And according to Al Smith, each group is convinced the crash pad was built just for them. They offer private rooms with a double bed and a sink for $70 a night. But most people sleep in a bunk for $27 a night.
We call them super bunks, actually. They're better than typical bunk beds, which I can get into, but... And there are 12 of them on each floor, and they're separated into three different partitions, each of which has four beds in it. So they're not individual rooms per se, but they're divided up that way. And each of the individual bunk beds, it's kind of a wraparound big train car pod design, where it's got privacy curtains, you've got a fan, you've got a light inside there, you've got two outlets to use, an extra long plush top mattress, a ton of headroom, and a huge locking storage unit. So you think of bunk beds in a communal space, you might think of black metal rickety bunks in a barracks, which obviously provides no privacy and can be fairly awkward and insecure.
Security was a big concern when they designed and built the crash pad 2 years ago. Privacy, clearly not an option when you're sharing a room with three other people, but security could be a deal-breaker for many people. So while it feels open and friendly, the crash pad is actually very tight. In order to get through the front door, you'll need an electronic key or have someone buzz you in. The same is true if you want to go any further than the lobby.
There's nothing inherently wrong or inherently unsafe about shared accommodations, but in America we've got the perception that there is. And without proper security, sure, there is. I mean, if you don't have the proper systems in place to ensure that, you know, all those checks are made, and then sure, there might be an issue with it. But for us, we were trying to make the hostel model the best it could be. You look at all the different hostels, and they're all cool. They're neat. They have their shortcomings. So the question is, are these shortcomings an inherent part of the model, or can we take the steps to just remove those shortcomings?
While it may look and feel something like a three-star hotel, the crash pad is a hostel. There are just two bathrooms on each of the two floors, one for men and one for women. They do provide breakfast, including local coffee and bread as well as eggs, in a buffet in the lobby. There's also a kitchen and a refrigerator where guests can leave their food, although Al Smith, who lives on the premises, warns you should label your food. He regards unlabeled food as open territory. That is definitely a hostel. But unlike a hotel, a hostel also encourages people to get to know each other. While I was sitting there in the lobby, several people who had apparently met the night before were chatting and exchanging contact information.
If you go and sit down next to a stranger in a hotel lobby, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. And that is not the case here. It's such an environment that suggests that everyone is friendly and more open, and it's inherently more open because the style of everything's laid out. So I think a lot of those social barriers are kind of already broken down, and it makes it a lot easier to be open to conversation and to meet people that you may not have any common ground with, but you're already staying in a hostel with them and sharing breakfast, and you're, you know, taking turns cooking eggs in the morning, and it just breaks down a lot of those barriers that otherwise just stand like brick walls between people. And that's really neat to see, because you don't actually need to have a direct thing in common in order to see that friendship form overnight.
Al Smith has managed the crash pad since it opened 2 years ago. He was drawn here from his native Maryland 4 years ago because he wanted a rock climb. He didn't have any other ambition. He just, he says, wanted to follow his passion. But in the time he's been here, he's become a real fan of Chattanooga. He talked enthusiastically about the climate of entrepreneurial optimism in the city. Like one of Jack Kerouac's grandchildren, he revels in the freedom afforded to everyone willing to embrace their passion here in Chattanooga.
I certainly wasn't career-oriented when I came down here, and now we're running this amazing hostel, and we're quite busy. It's a testament to why you should pursue what you really feel like you need in your heart, which is not something we're brought up to be that comfortable with. There's things that we need to get done, and they include university degree, they include a salary job, a house, we all know the things, the kind of the road that we're all pushed down to, and these things are all oriented around financial security and long-term security and just safety and financial success, and it's really difficult to let those things go. Even for me, and I was always kind of against the mold in this way, it was really difficult for me to let these things go, to stop going to school and to come down here and to reconcile the feelings, to actually be okay with and accept the relative insecurity and accept the abandon to going to do something just because you love doing it, just because it makes you feel so alive that you can't, I mean, it's hard to justify that. It kind of feels like you might be making a stupid decision. It feels like it's short-sighted. It feels like you are compromising your future in a way. So I think it's really important for young and old people to continue to try to embrace that. I think that's a big part of why Chattanooga is so successful right now, why the people here are so happy. It doesn't seem to me like it's about such a financial agenda. People are coming here. You know you can work it out. If you come here, you do something you really love, you become part of a community that you really love, and you embrace that abandon and that go-for-it attitude. In my experience, it seems like it works out really well compared to a more conservative, I'm going to plug away at my career job for the next 10 years.
Al Smith personifies the freewheeling spirit the crash pad was designed to house. Many of the people who stay there are on a tight budget, but determined to enjoy everything the city has to offer. But the owners were determined to build something more than just a crash pad. The architect who designed it softened the concrete bunker with lots of wood and big windows that make it feel very open and airy inside, while the garden, where we were talking, softens the urban setting.
And every time I come to question it, and I come to feel like that might not actually be true, I'm proven wrong again. I read a quote recently, something along the lines of, "Pursue what's in your heart, and the universe will conspire to support you." And this is just true. It's just true. If you want it and you do it and you mean it, and you mean it with all of your heart, like, the universe will conspire to support you. Like, the safety net will appear under you. I've seen it myself over and over again, and I've seen it with others over and over again, and those are the most inspiring stories that I ever see or ever hear, and just, they blow any other conventional approach out of the water. I don't know. I'm a strong believer that too.
The crash pad is on Johnson Street. It's turning off Main Street on the south side. More information about them is on their website, crashpadchattanooga.com. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.